Our gospel reading for today comes from the gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. I didn't add that my sister used to always make us do cartwheels when we played Follow the Leader. She was the only one who could do them well, but it didn't matter. Well, what a week. Seems like we've been able to say that at the end of every week for pretty much a year now, right? You all could recite the litany with me. The rising pandemic numbers, the shutdowns and restrictions that we continue to live with, the grief because of death, the violence that we've seen, political and racial discord and division. Finally, even insurrection and sedition. Maybe some of us had to even review the meanings of those words. But this week, for many of us, brought some guarded hope. My arm is sore today from a vaccine, and we're seeing that vaccine kind of being rolled out all over the world. And political partisanship aside, an event that could have been an occasion for more violence was peaceful. And regardless of who you support as candidates or as politicians, we can all agree that history was made in our country as an African Asian descent woman was sworn in as vice president. As a man some describe as elderly, was sworn in as president, still in those years so able. Folks from diverse leanings stood in awe when a 22-year-old woman named Amanda Gorman put into lyrical words so much of both the pain, the challenge, and the hope of the moment. Oh, and Bernie brought some good humor and some awareness of political, of Vermont practicality. What a week indeed. As I listened to the inaugural day poem, perhaps because I had sermon prep in mind, I couldn't help but be struck by the images of light with which Amanda Gorman began and ended her poem. The whole of her idea was bracketed. She began, "When day comes, we may ask ourselves, where can I find light in this never-ending shade?" My mind heard, "Light shone in darkness." My mind heard, "From whence will our help come?" I imagined in my mind a star shining in the night, westward leading, still proceeding. But something else, other than these images of light and how her images of light aligned with the images of light that were so much a part of my understanding of Epiphany, something else struck me. It struck me that on that dais, so much planning was obvious. So many parts had to come together for this ceremony to take place like clockwork, flawlessly. And then I thought, every single person on that dais on Wednesday morning, president, vice president, poet, preacher, family member, honors guests, each of them, I think, had a moment in their lives which they could probably relate if you asked them, when life changed, when something undeniable happened, when they spoke a yes to a call to the vocation they had undertaken. We all have those stories, don't we? And that took me to the gospel lesson. Just like last week in John's gospel, today's scripture from the pen of St. Mark is about call and response. Last week, we heard about Nathanael and Philip. And this week, Mark relates the call of four fishermen, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Jesus called, and immediately they went. That's the mark in detail. Immediately, these men followed Jesus with no prep and no planning. There are some obvious and often pondered questions that this raises. Did they know Jesus? Had they at least heard about him? In Mark's gospel, that seems unlikely. After all, Mark's gospel doesn't start with any kind of a birth story, any stories of Jesus growing up, nothing about him going to the temple and being seen there. Rather, Mark simply goes right into it with John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness, meeting Jesus, baptizing him, immediately after which Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan, protected by angels, and then comes out to start his ministry by calling disciples, by finding those who would help him. It might compel us to ask about ourselves. What do we know about Jesus? What made us decide to follow? But then we might go to the second question of the text. Why did Jesus pick them? Of all the people he could have chosen, there were no background checks, no temperature checks, no credit checks, no resume, nothing. In fact, he had to have known that the religious intelligentsia of the day back in Jerusalem would have picked almost anyone else. After all, these folks were from the northern kingdom. They were outside of the place of faith. They were foreigners. They were not the ones, and they smelled like fish. Why them? The gospel's good news here, and that's important in Mark's text, is that Jesus just chooses and calls from the ordinary, just calls from those who are all around us, just calls from those least likely. So the question might be, how radically willing are we to answer a call? Are we waiting to have the right credentials to follow Jesus? Or do we understand that we are absolutely fine the way we are and that God's call is there for us already in Jesus Christ? Still on that podium, I was wondering what it meant for each of the people on that dais that they were called to do something specific. Was there a radical moment when they understood that their life would be changed forever? Because that's what happens in Mark's gospel. Those men hear when Jesus says, repent and follow, which means turn around and come after me. Recognize that in following, your life will be changed. That's Mark's immediately. I think all of us who have ever made a decision about what we're going to do with our lives have that moment. My own call story is one that I get asked about frequently. In fact, just yesterday as I was standing in line for my vaccination, a young man that I work with said, "So, tell me about how you decided to do this." I will share with you that there is nothing in my call story that has the word "immediately" in it. Not one thing. But this story brings us all to that place. Homiletics professor out of Luther Seminary, Caroline Lewis, talks about this "immediately" aspect of this gospel lesson. Her comments help a lot because she begins by defining Epiphany, and she defines Epiphany this way. Epiphany, she says, is an immediate and meaningful understanding of something surprising, sudden, and profound. For example, the Magi saw Jesus and immediately understood and were profoundly surprised by what the star had led them to witness. Mary watched Jesus change water into wine and immediately understood that the time had come for her son's purpose to begin to be fulfilled. His life and hers were changed. Four men are called away from their livelihood and family, from their ordinary life, when Jesus says, "Follow me," and immediately they go. Was it an epiphany? Were they profoundly surprised by the call and what would happen to them? Lewis lets Mark's gospel point back to the season and suggests that epiphany in its very nature demands immediately, calls for urgently, asks for us to be surprised and awed and profoundly moved by how God enters into our life. She also says that epiphany is not so much about time as action. And if that action gets rid of that call and urgency, then all the stories just kind of read like something that you see in the paper. Lift your cup of coffee and say, that's interesting. But make no mistake, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ in Mark's gospel and in all the gospels is way more than just interesting. It is life-changing. It is profoundly surprising. Immediately has to do not so much with, did I do it right away? But was I willing to say yes to something that would change everything for me, that would turn my life around? So the textual question becomes not how quickly we respond, but are we willing to respond without hesitation? The epiphany of today's gospel may not be that they dropped everything, but rather that they made a decision to change their lives because they had been called. They were willing, without knowing to what they were being led, how they would be changed, what challenges they were faced, where Jesus was taking them, without knowing any of that, without having a plan for even whether they would be able to change their sandals at the end of the day, without any kind of assurances, they followed. That's immediately. That's remarkable. That is what we are being asked to consider when we hear the call in this gospel to follow as not only a call centuries ago to four men at the side of a lake, but a call that is always to us, to we as individuals, to the church as a whole. That the totality of our faith, may lie in the immediacy of saying, I don't know the plan yet, but Jesus is leading the way, so I will follow. Lewis suggests that sometimes preparations may stand a little bit in the way of God's epiphanies. It makes us anticipate, get ready, and then we think we know what to expect, so we're disappointed when something else happens. But God's immediately allows us to respond in the moment to what is unexpected and sudden and profound and wonderful and that God is leading us into. Now, some of you know me well enough by now to know that I love process, that I live my life trying to figure out if I need to get from step A to step B, the steps it's going to take to get there. I want a plan. I want to be prepared. I want a flow chart. I've just started making a flow chart about constitutions. That's how important it is to me. But sometimes following Jesus really means letting that go and knowing that that's the second step, not the first. I served a church in upstate New York for a while. I may have told some of you this story before, and if I did, I apologize, but here's the story. This was a very small congregation. In fact, it was a congregation that so many times had faced the question of whether or not it should shut its doors. But for a while, some folks started coming from the neighborhood, and many of them came in wheelchairs. We were happy to see them. Our church was accessible. That is to say, we had a ramp that you could come up and you could get into our worship space. After about a year and a half of one young man coming up the ramp for worship every Sunday, he said, Pastor, your church is not accessible. I can't get downstairs for fellowship after church. I feel left out. We brought fellowship up to him. He said, it's not the same. I'm not there. I can't help set things up. We should have an elevator, he said. And guess what happened? The congregation said, okay, no plan, no thought, but immediately knew they were being called to a ministry that was sudden and unexpected and that they could not imagine actually how to achieve. Within a year, there was an elevator in that building. We are a congregation in the process of visioning and discerning and looking to the future with great excitement. We are listening to what God is calling us to be and to do in this time and in this space. But I wonder if we are listening immediately. If we are listening with a heart that says, we don't have to figure out the how, we simply need to hear God's dream for us and immediately say, we will follow that dream and we will trust that the God who loves us and places us here and plants that in our hearts will lead us to the how. The preparation time will come, but God's vision, God's call, that may completely uproot and surprise and challenge us. That comes first. Like the call to an African Asian girl who feels called to serve her country and who probably couldn't imagine at that moment that it could actually happen. Like a 22-year-old born with a speech impediment called to speak at an inauguration and be the voice of a nation, like fishermen called to fill their nets with a different type of catch that they could not even imagine. Amanda Gorman wrote at the end of her poem, when day comes, we step out of the shade aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. And I hear the word became light and dwelt among us, in us, called us, empowered us, envisioned with us. And we are asked to be brave enough to be that light, to immediately follow. Amen.